Hello and welcome to this podcast on effective wealth management for intergenerational wealth, sponsored by PSG Wealth. Now, when it comes to intergenerational wealth, how to build it, manage it, and pass it on, this is such an important topic. We're going to be exploring how families can successfully build and preserve wealth across generations. Whether you're focused on protecting a legacy or preparing to take it forward, we covered the key strategies that make intergenerational wealth transfer smoother and more effective. From the importance of open conversations and shared values to the role of financial education and early investing, we offer practical guidance for every generation. We also look at estate planning, digital tools, and value-based investing, helping you make smart, informed decisions that support long-term financial well-being and responsible growth. My name is Mbuyo Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'm going to be your host for what looks to be an informative and engaging discussion around this topic of intergenerational wealth. And joining me today to unpack what some of those key strategies are, we are joined by Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer at PSG Wealth. Adrian, greetings to you today.
Hi, Madiba. It's good to chat to you this morning.
Adrian, you know, when we look at the world of investments, financial planning, some people may have come across that we are currently in the process of or anticipating what some people consider the greatest wealth transfer ever. Could you maybe please share some key advice for the older generations? What should they be focusing on as they plan for the future and to pass on this wealth to the next generation?
Yeah, thanks, Mateo. I think maybe it's useful to think of it in terms of structure. So initially, when people start to invest, the investing side itself. So what is the most appropriate investment? What is my risk profile? Where can I get the best risk-adjusted returns, etc.? And that really speaks to the lead up to building the wealth. But then there's the important phase of transferring the wealth to the next generation, which comes with its own set of consequences and considerations. And then after that, obviously someone else is now at the helm of running things and making sure that it's done in a way that doesn't undo a lot of the good work that was done in that first phase of accumulating the wealth. So as important as what it is, the things that we normally discuss around, you know, where do we see risks in the market? Where do we see opportunities? Those are very valuable discussions in terms of building it. But then people don't often talk about how important the estate planning process is, which is one of the key components in ensuring that once the older generation passes on, that there is effective transfer of not only the capital, but also the knowledge that was there. And it's obviously, if you do the estate planning properly, you can do so in a very tax efficient way. But even in that case, the new beneficiaries of the funds then sit on a new capital amount, but they're not necessarily very acquainted with what to actually do with it and how to think about managing money. And this is where we see a lot of value being destroyed. People don't have the necessary guidance or tools. And this is where, again, the estate plan can be quite useful, because if the family or the younger generation is also part of that setup of that estate plan, and the younger generation, they are aware that that plan is there and they are aware that this responsibility will one day eventually sit with them, they immediately develop the interest in, okay, but what is my role now? And what do I need to do to prepare myself for taking over that responsibility to an extent, or with my siblings, etc.? So in that middle phase, the estate plan is really important. Have a estate plan to ensure that there's an effective tax-efficient transfer and that there's continuity. But then also communicate and engage with the next generation and see how as much as possible of the experience, if you've got a relationship with a wealth manager that assists you, that relationship also finds its way into the younger generation. It's very difficult to do that at a point in time after death, for example, to put that big responsibility on someone that isn't financially literate or isn't as acquainted with markets and doesn't have a wealth manager to assist. then that person is caught in the deep end, and often we then see that and the destructive behavior with finances. So I think that's really important to keep in mind, that the younger generation need to acknowledge that at some point they need to tilt their focus away from not so much the investment growth part. You've now done the hard work. Now you need to transition into generational wealth planning, getting the younger generation involved.
Adrian, am I understanding you correctly? We often hear that intergenerational wealth doesn't go beyond a certain number of generations. I believe when it comes to some of the bigger fortunes in history, they say that after the second or third generation, often the money is gone. Am I understanding you correctly that one of the risks that's happening there, apart from the maintenance of that wealth, is that a lot of people are actually losing part of that wealth in the transfer process?
Yeah, that's correct. I think it happens both, partly due to not efficient tax planning. So immediately on death, there's an amount of capital that leaks out, as well as mismanagement when it goes to the next generation because they weren't prepared. They don't understand the consequences. They might think this is an astronomical amount of money and continue spending, and before you know it, the money's gone. So as I say, having that conversation sort of pulls them in, a great opportunity to instill some financial discipline, gain some experience in how markets behave, how the economy works. You know, if you've got X amount as a beneficiary that you receive through an estate, how much money is it? How long will it actually last? How do you need to look after it? What's the impact of inflation on it? Those kind of things. And I think it's just poor preparation, that people aren't prepared. And then that's where we see a lot of the good work that was done in the first generation gets undone in the second.
No, of course. So let's assume that someone has done that hard work, as you were alluding to. They have a strong foundation in place. You've spoken about a number of considerations already, making sure that the younger generation is there in that estate planning process. They understand the plans already. But what are some of the other key considerations that you think the younger generation should be aware of or be prepared for when it comes to some of these eventualities?
First and foremost, I think the older generation needs to acknowledge that they need to pull in the younger generation. But then secondly, also, in a certain sense, the younger generation is super fortunate. And there's so many tools available to educate yourself and develop your literacy around finances. I mean, even this specific podcast is something that wasn't available 30 years ago for a younger generation to be more financially aware or how markets work, etc. And not only is the technology available, it's actually also quite an interesting topic, and it pays to know something about these things. So it can be quite an interesting environment to explore. I think what they need to try and do is instill a culture of curiosity. And I think younger generations are often curious by nature, but it's sort of positioning these things in a way that becomes a little bit more palatable for them. And that's why things like podcasts and even AI, where you can ask the questions that you want to ask and get fairly decent responses back, those are all tools that you need to explore as a young individual to acquaint yourself with finances and try and build on your knowledge way ahead of the responsibility falling into your lap. When that happens, you should actually ideally be in a situation where you feel reasonably comfortable that you know there are things like wealth managers, there are things like markets, and how do they behave in the context of the economy and interest rates and inflation? How important is it to budget your expenses? Don't just spend without discipline. Those kind of topics. So I think it's just where people have this curiosity, they don't just push it to the side, try and embrace it and try and use all these different platforms to develop your own curiosity and understanding of things. And also appreciate how rewarding that could be for yourself over the long term to develop some know-how in the space. It's also, we see a big trend in the younger generation around tying their own philosophy and belief systems to money. I mean, this has really been the resurgence behind ESG and tying a value-based system to investing. And those things can be also quite useful for creating some inspiration in terms of how capital can be deployed to enforce change in the world. for the younger generation, this is incredibly important that they feel that they're making a difference and that they are involved. So this is another avenue for them to also serve that purpose in their lives.
Adrian, when it comes to that issue of building legacy, you've highlighted some of the new opportunities that people can take advantage of to confidently take control of their financial future. You mentioned things like podcasts, you mentioned AI, and a whole bunch of other tools. But when it comes to some of the more traditional ways of doing things, there are things like talking to financial planners, wealth managers. What's the advice when it comes to embracing the new opportunities, when it comes to doing things yourself versus engaging with a professional who perhaps might be able to lend a professional voice to some of this planning?
Yeah, no, I think what we have seen and something that we've embraced as a firm is this intergenerational planning concept. So planning not in isolation for individuals, but planning together as spouses as well, so that everybody is aware of what the financial situation is in the event that someone passes away. But for the older generation listening in, I would say be proactive, get the younger generation involved as soon as possible. And it's never too young to start. I think the trick is just to make it age appropriate. So for children that are maybe much younger, start with the basic things around having some financial independence, learning how to budget, how to spend on things, what's productive spending, what's the impact if you invest and save versus just spending. So the important lessons that you can instill from a very young age. And then later you get into things like podcasts and using technology, but it starts usually with something fairly small. But then also just having communication in the family. It should be a fairly open dialogue, a conversation or topic of conversation in the family where people aren't too cagey about what's happening with the family finances and this and that. I think that's really also a really big challenge for the older generation to, you know, sort of be quite open and transparent about what's happening with the family finances. We think it's a very good idea, regardless of what the financial situation is, even if things are quite tight in the family. So it's good for kids to understand that financial pressures are around, and this is the impact of financial pressures, and this is how we need to think about spending money carefully. And they learn through that process. And even if you are fortunate and there's maybe a bit more money involved, then you have the luxury of being practical. And I think that's really good if they can get practically involved in saving. And they can start off with something like just having a savings account and building on that as they become teenagers, et cetera, introducing something like a unit trust or even an equity portfolio over time and give them something to build and work with and learn from as they engage with their money. And also recognize the need to involve other wealth professionals. Even people that are well-versed in finances still use wealth managers to guide them through sticky situations. Make them part of that conversation. Make sure that there's a relationship between the wealth manager and the younger individuals in the family as well. It shouldn't be a surprise if the older generation passes on that, oh, you know, my dad had a wealth manager, I've never met him. That's not going to be helpful. But if they can speak to a familiar face and ask questions through the process to where they essentially incubate their wealth up to a point where they feel comfortable in engaging with someone. It's not something new for them. They know what that relationship entails and how it typically works and what role a wealth manager can play.
All right. Perhaps where we can end off the discussion, Adrian, one of the big things that I agree with you on is the fact that we must be having healthier conversations about money, at least at household level. Older generation bringing in the younger generation being curious and understanding what's happening when it comes to the finances. That's one of the key tenets I'm definitely in agreement on, because from a society point of view, we seem to find it hard to just talk about money. But perhaps where we can end off, because we've spoken a lot about this financial literacy and you've given us some insight into, you know, some of the places where the youth can start when it comes to their journey, whether it's learning about finances or practically doing things such as saving. Are you hopeful, as far as you can see, engaging with clients and just talking to people, that indeed people are headed in the right direction when it comes to all of this?
Yeah, I think certainly we do see progress, but I think the level of commitment and adoption is still low. I think there's still lots of work to do to get the younger generation involved and for people to fully appreciate the benefits of family-orientated planning and discussions. There's really an enormous amount of value that can be added to the younger generation if they get engaged fairly early in the process. It's probably one of the biggest services you can do to the younger generation to get them involved quite early. It's very difficult for people to change their disciplines that they've learned themselves independently, which might not be the best habits, and then at the age of 25 or 30, try and change all of that and instill new disciplines around spending and saving. That's not the right time to try and instill the right disciplines. The time is now. I mean, we see from a very early age kids asking for a little bit of financial independence or a little bit of money to do something with. But are we really actively involved in how they engage with their finances? Because that really sets the tone for what they will do in later stages of their life. And I think sometimes the relationship is maybe a little bit too casual. Here's a bit of pocket money and, you know, we've done our responsibility. It needs to be, for example, put 20% of what we give you for pocket money into a tax-free savings account or something similar. Install that discipline of always taking the first 10 or 20%, whatever the right number is for you, and saving that. And then later in life, it is so entrenched and you will be well rewarded for that discipline later in life.
All right. That's how we end off today's discussion. It has been a great one, just understanding this transfer of wealth from one generation to another, getting into some of these nitty-gritties and aspects when it comes to wealth transfer. Adrian just giving us some insight into some of the key advice for the older generation and as well as the younger generation. And one of the key things that he has been talking about is to say that there needs to be a healthier discourse when it comes to conversations about money at the family level, older generation involving the younger generation being interested in taking initiative to learn what's going on. That's something that he hit on a number of times during the discussion. He was also just highlighting the fact that planning is key and everyone needs to be involved. And when it comes to that planning, the younger generation, he says, has access to a lot of tools and platforms that the older generation did not have. So well positioned, but there needs to be initiative when it comes to making use of certain platforms, you know, your podcasts, your digital platforms, your AI, that type of thing. There needs to be an initiative. This is not stuff that just comes to you. A person actually needs to go out on a journey and embark down that road. He was also then talking about, in terms of all of those opportunities, how the younger generation can boost their financial literacy in addition to using some of those tools, you know, also getting into some of the practical aspects, getting into budgeting. And, you know, at the end, you heard him there talking about, instead of just giving pocket money, perhaps there can be certain rules and frameworks that are given, you know, out of all of this pocket money that we're giving you, maybe 10, 20% can go towards either saving of some sort, maybe investing, whatever it is. And I can definitely say from my own personal experience, that type of engagement is always key. So that brings us to the end of this discussion around effective wealth management for intergenerational wealth that was sponsored by PSG Wealth. Thank you so much to Adriana Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth, for giving us his insight for today. Adrian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Mudiwa, and thank you to the listeners as well.
And that's where we end off. I've been your host, Mudiwa Gavaza, of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on Spotify, Player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.